You're listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm Lisa Berry, and as part of an engaged democracy, we bring you In the Public Interest, our biweekly conversation with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. Today, we're talking about ranked choice voting, and our guest is Lisa Disch, a professor of political science at the University of Michigan, where she is also affiliated with the Women's Studies Department and, of course, a League member. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you also have a number of publications, among them a book called The Tyranny of the Two-Party System, which is related to what we're going to discuss today. What exactly is ranked choice voting? What are we talking about?
Ranked choice voting is an electoral system where voters rank candidates in order of preference instead of choosing only one, even when you are filling just one seat.
So it's a way of voting.
It is a way of voting. Yeah, we talk about it as an election system. But yeah, it's a way of voting that differs from the way we currently vote.
Is it happening anywhere locally?
Yes, it was just used on November 5th in the city of East Point, Michigan.
Really?
Which was by an order of the Federal Justice Department, because East Point, which is a city of around 40,000 people, has a large African-American population. But the Justice Department believed that African-American voters were disadvantaged by East Point's at-large election system for the city council. Of the many ways that you can address that issue of voters not being able to actually make a dent at the polls in proportion to their numbers, East Point chose to remedy that problem with ranked choice voting. And so their voters on November 5th ranked their preferred candidates for the city council.
Maybe you should explain, how does it work?
Very few people have really heard of ranked choice voting.
Exactly.
Yes. So it's really pretty simple. Now, there are two versions of ranked choice voting. One for multi-seat elections, like the one in East Point, where they use at-large voting to elect their city council, and one for single-seat elections. Now, in the U.S., the single-seat version, called instant runoff voting, is most common because most of our elections are actually single-seat elections. For example, when you vote for president, you're not voting for several presidents.
Right.
You're voting for one. Our federal congressional elections are single-seat. In Ann Arbor, our city council elections are single-seat as well, although in some municipalities, as we were saying, they do use an at-large method. So you need to fill 9 seats, for example, and you could have up to 20 candidates on the ballot. Because when you use ranked choice in this most common kind of election, what it lets you do is have an instant runoff between the top vote-getters. And let me explain how that happens. So let's imagine an election where 4 candidates are running for a single seat. You're a voter. You've got these 4 candidates, and you get to rank them in your order of preference.
But are we already doing that, though? Like, you go and it says vote for 3 candidates?
We rarely have that, and you don't rank them.
Okay.
Right? When it says vote for 3, you vote for 3. It's just that there are X number of vacancies on the court, for example, and so you can vote for up to X number of people.
But in this case, you actually pick your first choice, your second choice, and third choice.
Exactly. Okay. In this case, you rank them. And the reason why you do is because there's going to be a runoff. In those judicial elections, there's no runoff. So what we do in a ranked choice vote election is we tally the first choice votes. And if no candidate receives more than 50% of the vote, then we drop the candidate who came in last. At that instant, we have the runoff. If your candidate was eliminated on that first tally, guess what? Your second choice gets to count. So your ballot doesn't get thrown away. You move to your second choice. The runoff redistributes the second choices of all the people whose candidate was eliminated on the first tally, and then we count it up again and see if a candidate has gotten a 50-plus majority share of the vote. We keep on eliminating candidates and redistributing choices until somebody achieves a 50-plus majority of the vote.
I'm sitting here thinking, why is this better? It brings out who had the biggest majority. That's who wins.
That's right. I mean, so there are two things that make ranked choice voting at least different, if not better. Some might argue, but I think it's better. One of the things is this ranking, right, that you rank the candidates, and you can rank more than one even when you're not filling three open seats, even when there's only one open seat at play. And this is really, really important to remember, candidates have to win a majority of the votes to be elected. In the U.S., we talk a lot about majority rule,
right,
but our plurality voting system usually doesn't give it to us. It hands the victory to the person who has the most votes at the end of just one round of counting. And the most votes very often do not add up to a majority. So the big dirty secret of our democracy is the majority doesn't rule most of the time.
What do you think is the biggest advantage of ranked choice voting?
Ranked choice voting makes it safe for you to vote your political heart without worrying about whether your most preferred candidate has a chance of winning or not. Because the worst that can happen to you is they are knocked out on the first round and your second choice comes into play. You would not end up throwing the election to your least preferred candidate. And ranked choice voting is not a new thing. It has a long history in this country. It started in Ashtabula, Ohio in 1912 and was practiced by, in its heyday, I think it was as many as, let me just see, 24 cities in the United States. And in the mid-20th century, around the Red Scare and other lovely features of our democratic history, ranked choice voting was seen as threatening democracy, as Cold Warriors defined it at that time, and it was outlawed in most of these cities. As I said, Cambridge swam against the tide and actually legalized it in 1940 and has been using it ever since.
Does it make it difficult to tally up the voting results if you vote by ranked choice?
It's not difficult. It just, there is a software program that can do it. The issue is that most voting machines cannot tabulate. You have to run the results through a software program. So that's an obstacle.
And do you see it coming to Washtenaw County anytime soon?
Well, there are people who would like it to come to Washtenaw County, but if we approve it, we will be in conflict with state law. So we can approve it, but until the state legislature moves, we won't be able to use it.
Where do we go from here then?
Well, we could either do a statewide citizens' ballot initiative and get the state's voters to approve it, just as they did, for example, the Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. Or we can pressure our legislators to adopt it. And the more municipalities that do adopt it, the more pressure state legislators might feel about passing some form of enabling legislation.
Lots to take in. Lisa Dish, a professor of political science at the University of Michigan, author and speaker and member of the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. Thanks for your patience and your great explanation about ranked choice voting. And I'm sure we'll be hearing about it more in the coming months and years as well.
Thank you very much for having me.